The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tomorrow I will be interviewing the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred.
When do Gabe and I get to give you questions to
what
ask?
What do you mean, when do you get to give me questions?
I feel like
I would ask you to stay tonight, but I only have the sofa bed, and it's where I sleep.
Well, we'll have to sleep head to toe.
All fans
what
on this station.
What do you want to ask the commissioner?
When's
what
he
going to
juice
earlier,
the balls again?
Yeah.
So where's my jacket?
Oh, I must have left it at James's.
Spent the night at James's, did we?
Yeah, but we reversed positions, so there was no funny business.
I got one. Are we still pretending like you can't see genitals through the player's uniform?
Yeah, classic. Uniform questions, hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, and you know how much I love talking about genitals, uh-huh. But I don't think that's going to make the interview either.
It's a great question,
what the
though,
hell
Josh.
Do you do? Yeah, I don't understand what's going on here.
Matthew.
Reverse position?
Yeah, you know, head to toe.
So what? Your genitals are still lined up?
No, because I slept with my back to him.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
All right, we have waited long enough. We have held this long enough. I mentioned it at the very, very beginning of the show. Everybody seems to be on the Jordan Love bandwagon. Except for this one guy I found on Twitter. Not a fan. Ooh, boy, is he not a fan. I'll have to share with you guys the Twitter handle of this guy who breaks down film, apparently, and thinks Jordan Love is absolute trash. But for the most part, many, many, many people, the Dan Orlovskys of the world, the Mina Kimes of the world, the Mike Tannenbaums of the world, feel very strongly that Jordan Love is going to be good and continue to be good and get even better, maybe even be elite. But Mike Tannenbaum, my goodness, he is president of this fan club at this point. Take a listen to what Mike Tannenbaum said most recently. I believe it was this morning on Unsportsmanlike with our friends Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman. I believe Chris Canty is still off this week. About Jordan Love. Take a listen.
If I'm Jordan Love, I am not even returning a call. I'm going to wait for Dak Prescott, and then I'm looking for $60 million a year for 10 years. And
What did you say? 10 years?
Yes, $60 million a year for 10 years. And if I'm the Packers, I say yes. Why wouldn't you?
Wait, whoa, hold on. 10-year, yeah. $600 million deal.
Easy, yep.
Because how much guaranteed?
That's where it's going to get interesting. You know, like
I want 300 at least guaranteed.
Yeah, I want to be less than that if I'm the Packers. But here's what's going to happen, guys. We're at 55 now. You know, Dak Prescott is going to get, fill in the blank, 56, 56 and a half, either from, let's just say, Dallas or the Raiders. Someone's going to pay him that. If I'm Jordan Love, much the way we're going to see Jamar Chase sort of like draft behind the Justin Jeffersons of the world, if I'm Jordan Love, I'm telling my agent, don't return a call until Dak Prescott signs. And when he signs, we're going to go north of him. So if it's at 55 now and it goes to 56 and a half with Dak, $60 million for someone who's his age is a very reasonable number.
But we're of the belief, correct us if we're wrong, that Dak will not sign until after the season.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm Jordan Love, I wait one more year.
How did this guy ever get a job as a GM?
He wonders
probably why he does it. Did he really?
Yeah, Jets and the Dolphins.
Can I vent?
Please.
He's just an idiot. You just run the risk. You run the risk of, I know that it's small percentage, but a season ending, a career ending injury, coupled with the fact you're talking about taking that risk with a $3 or $4 million difference contractually, and then waiting a year, and it's just dumb, just stupid. And I told you, I bet if the Packers said we'll give you the Trevor Lawrence deal, he would be an idiot not to sign.
Yeah.
He'd be an idiot. So I don't understand his reason. I mean, is it clickbait? Is he just throwing stuff against the wall?
He does. No, I mean, he believes in Jordan Love. I mean, earlier this week, he had some really strong
support.
That's not how
players think. They don't think like that.
What do you mean?
You know? Players will take a chance on themselves, but he doesn't need to take a chance on himself right now.
So the only thing I would say go ahead, Chu.
And then there's the risk, Jen, of him not playing great. There is that risk that he could just play good, which I don't know if it warrants $60 million. There's just way too much risk out there to do that.
So I'm going to come at it from a different angle. I'm going to come at it from the angle of, if Jordan Love plays well at $60 million, why would you sign a 10-year deal? He's going to get another bite of the apple before that 10 years is up. And who knows where quarterback numbers will be then, right? At that point, $60 million will probably feel like a huge bargain. So, like, that's why, I mean, this happens in our industry as well. Maybe you have the option of signing a longer-term deal, and you think at the time, like, ooh, the security, the job security. Okay, but I have no idea what the market will be able to bear at the end of that contract, so you're really taking a risk, and it feels like the trajectory that these quarterback contracts have been on, Gabe, tell me if I'm wrong, they're through the roof.
They're not going down anytime
soon. So would you sign a 10-year deal when you could sign a 5-year deal or a 4-year deal and then get another bite of the apple?
Depends, Ben. Again, the important part there is how much is guaranteed. Like, if the Packers were to offer, and again, I don't think, I'm with you, I don't think this is happening, but if the Packers offered a 10-year, $600 million contract with $400 of it guaranteed, it's tough to turn down $400 guaranteed million dollars, right? Yes. Like, you can't turn that down, which is basically what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. Because Mahomes signed a 10-year, $450 million deal, and to your point, Jen, now that, I mean, that's an archaic contract at $45 million per year for the best quarterback in the league. But you're locked in, and if you do believe in that guy, now he's, you know, you can spend some of that money elsewhere, whereas a team like Dallas has to spend $60 million on Dak Prescott.
I do also think we need to nail down whether or not the situation that we were talking about earlier, the NFL Sunday ticket lawsuit that yesterday the NFL lost, obviously they will appeal it, if that will in fact affect salary cap or not, because there is a thought, Chewy, as you mentioned, out there that it will affect a team's ability to pay people or that the salary cap will regress. I would be shocked if it did, honestly. But again, they got to figure out how to pay that thing somehow. You know, there's only so much money to go around. They're not printing money, no matter what we think in the NFL. So here's the other angle that I think we need to take into consideration as we continue to think about the Jordan Love contract situation. Michael Lombardi was on Lombardi.
Yeah.
Like the Lombardis. Was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week, and he thinks that the Jordan Love contract is going to be the hardest of all the quarterback deals that are handled this offseason. Take a listen to this.
This is the hardest contract to do because this is a little bit like buying on spec, right? It's almost like you're going to build a spec house and you got to sell it. David's going to argue that his players should be paid like the guys that have the money. Whereas the Packers, Russ Ball, who will do the contract, not good. Russ Ball's going to argue that we'll pay on the come. We'll certainly pay a base level, but we want to see more of this player playing at the level. And they're going to have to find a way to meet in the middle, whether it's through incentives, whether it's through yearly buildup in terms of increasing the salary per year. But to turn around and just say after 8 games, I'm going to give you $55 million a year with 80% of it guaranteed, that's something that I'm sure the Packers don't want to enter into, because you've got to look at this. What happens if the 8 games were wrong? What happens if the fourth quarter of the 49er game ends up being the way he played? Look, I think he's played great. But you look at the first half of the season, they were protecting the team from him. In the second half of the season, he was winning games with them. So it's two different things. Remember, they went into New York and lost to Tommy DeVito. There hasn't been just a rise. So there's an argument on both sides. These are the hard contracts to do. The contracts that are easy to do is when there's no argument on one side. Like, there's an argument to be made here, and you've got to find a middle ground. And I think they have to. And this is why I think this one will be hard for them to do before the season kicks off. Maybe they can, but that's the one.
Totally agree. Now, that was smart. I totally agree. There is something, I believe, on the Packers side that is holding this deal up. I really do. I think Love, like I said earlier, if they gave Love the Trevor Lawrence deal, Jordan Love signs it. But so I don't know if it's the franchise tag thing that Dak got, where they want that waived, which is a pretty big bargaining chip, and the Packers do not want to do that because, Jen, like you said, he's going to get another kick at the cap. So if he turns into 90% of Patrick Mahomes, he's going to get another huge payday, and the Packers still want that trump card. the break glass in case of emergency to throw down if they can't get it done. Now, Jordan Love needs to log this. Log it, okay? He may have to sign for 53, but log it. And then he plays well for 4 years when they want to redo this deal. Then he goes to him and says, remember you kind of screwed me on the last deal? You were about $4 million short. I want that in that next contract.
But they already kind of did that to him once with this half-measure deal that he signed for this upcoming season instead of giving him the fifth-year option. Like, they already kind of did that.
Do it again.
So you're going to log it again?
But do it.
Like, so you've got to put your foot down a little bit if you're Jordan Love. I don't know if it's the franchise tag thing, Chew. A lot of times this just comes down to the guaranteed money because the Packers don't want to guarantee a lot because the less you guarantee, the easier it is to get out after a year or two. Right, that's the guaranteed money is what it all comes down to.
Well, let me ask you two this. Do you guys think it's the Packers holding us up, or is Jordan Love asking for $58
million? I think, I got to be honest with you, Chew, now I would be surprised if this number didn't start with a 6.
Really?
Oof.
He's not going to get 6. He's not going to get 6. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He won't get 6.
I think that doesn't Jordan have more leverage, though?
No, because he's stuck there for 3 years, if they wanted to.
Yeah, this year and then the two franchise
tags. But again, we have talked about, again, I don't think they're willing to throw those ripples in the water, guys. I don't think they're willing to throw that stone and cause the ripples. The ripples of hacking off your quarterback, hacking off your locker room, the rumors of Rodgers, you know, talking about how they don't treat certain players well. I know Jordan doesn't technically qualify as a veteran yet, but like they don't. So validating that narrative, I don't think they want any part of any of those things. I think he's got them in a very compromised position because of all that. He has done everything they have asked. He has done everything they have asked correctly.
Yes.
The mm-hmm. locker room loves him. Like you just start going down that list and it's like, he's not a great enemy. You don't want to make an enemy out of Jordan Love.
But also, if he's asking for 60, if he's asking for $60 million, Chew, like I think the court of public opinion is going to be like,
$60 million is because that's the number that keeps getting attached to Dak Prescott. And whether or not you think that Dak Prescott has a bigger body of work, he's got a better resume than whatever Jordan Love is going to do, that's the number that's out there. And if his people think he should be the top highest paid quarterback, I think that's what they're going to aim for.
Sure, but Dak's not getting paid $60 million yet. And until he does, like, that's just all speculation. Right. I don't think you can base anything off of that. And if you're the Packers, I don't think you can go, well, we think Dak's going to get
this.
Well,
of course, that's going to be their position. But the agent's position is going to be, yeah, we read the tea leaves, though. We see how this is going to go. We want our guy to be the top paid quarterback even after Dak gets his quote unquote deal with the Cowboys, whenever that may be. So you throw it out there.
How much credence do you give Lombardi when he says they haven't seen enough?
Like,
would the Packers are using that? Nine games is not enough to pay someone. I'm just saying, are the Packers like, 9 games is not enough to pay someone $55 million?
Of course they're using that in negotiations because that's how negotiations work. I know we always talk about baseball and arbitration and the ugly things that are said and you cost us playoff games, et cetera, et cetera. Corbin Burns. But they're not going to say that publicly. Like, that may all happen behind the scenes, but they're not going to say
that publicly. He did say it publicly last year, though, about the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
But
how
he also
$20 million was a lot to pay somebody who hasn't played.
But he also more recently said, he's our guy. We know we're going to get it done.
And he also said Aaron Jones was going to be a Packer.
I know that one's going to hang on for a while.
How long do you think it's going to be before some of the players start coming to Jordan Love's defense and start saying, I don't understand why they just don't pay the guy?
That's a great point.
Well, so I guess it comes down to it, Chew. If you were in that locker room and you found out Jordan was asking for 60 versus asking for the Trevor Lawrence deal, like, would you come to the defense of your guy for 60? Would you come to him to the defense
there,
at 55?
I wouldn't there, Gabe, but I would certainly come out for him if what he wants is the Trevor Lawrence deal. Yeah, I would. 60, kind of stay out of it, but I'm like, yeah, I would say, I don't know why they don't pay the guy. The comparable is out there being Trevor Lawrence. Just give him the same deal, and we can move on and win a Super Bowl.
It seems to be, yeah.
But typically guys stay out of other guys' contracts. They really do.
Well, yeah. And the one thing I will say is a lot of the noise from Jordan Love's deal is not coming from inside the building or, I think, from Jordan Love's side. Whereas the other two guys out there, like, you've got a lot of public comments out there from the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, down in Miami as well with Tua, things getting contentious there. So right now, they're doing a good job of keeping it in-house. And the only time I will start to panic is if Jordan Love shows up, we get a week into camp, and it's not done. Like, he's off, he's getting engaged, he's doing his thing in Europe, good for him. Once he's back, and once he's in Green Bay, if there's not pen to paper at that point, then it's, okay, what's going on here? Because Goody said he wanted to get it done before training camp. By all accounts, Jordan Love doesn't really want to talk about this anymore, was very standoffish, really, for the first time on any topic, the last time he was asked about it in the locker room during OTAs. So it seems like they're on the same page of wanting to get this thing done, and if it's not done, you know, a week or so into camp, then I'm going to have some serious questions about it.
We'll put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Would you be surprised if Jordan Love signed the $60 million per year contract, the annual average value contract, $60 million? Would you be surprised if Jordan Love signed a deal with the Packers for $60 million per year?
Chewy, are they going to pay more to the plaintiffs in the lawsuit or Jordan Love? Who's getting more money? Packers right now owe $450 million, or is Jordan Love getting more?
Oh, I think the Packers are going to be on the hook for more. I think that judgment will be reduced probably to something like $3.5 billion. I don't know what their cut of it would be, but Jordan Love is what was Trevor Lawrence's around $220 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. Packers are going to. Ooh, they're not
a lot of money to dole out between one player and then the lawsuit on top of it.
That stings. Yeah. Not a good day.
So check out the Twitter poll if you want to weigh in on that. Are you ready to upgrade the concrete surfaces in your home? Let me tell you about Showtime Floors and Floor Shield. It's used by military bases, airports, businesses, and, of course, residential homes. And that includes my home. Just a few weeks ago, we had the folks from Showtime Floors out to our home. We had to empty the garage, and they did all of the things. They resurfaced it. They filled in the cracks, leveled everything out, and then put the floor shield in. And it looks fantastic. I had a couple of girlfriends over last night, guys, and they were like, oh my goodness, your garage, it looks so good. I said, I know, we should probably hang out here because it's the best looking part of our house right now. If you are interested in Floor Shield for your home, you can mention ESPN for free crack repair and they will give you 10% off. That comes along with a 15-year warranty against wear. You can get more information by visiting ShowtimeFloors.com. It's ShowtimeFloors.com. Check out Floor Shield and join me in the revolution of your garage floor. Go to our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account, or X, as I suppose it is called now. Would you be surprised if Jordan Love signed a $60 million per year contract extension with the Packers? Go ahead and weigh in on that. We will tell you the results of that poll as the show rolls on. But I want to get to this story I saw this morning. A little bit of a dilemma that the Badgers and other Division I programs find themselves in now. We've talked about this a little bit, but it is always interesting to hear that this is actually something that Chris McIntosh and company are dealing with. And that is, where should donors be putting their money? They are obviously trying up in Madison to build a new facility, a new football facility. The article goes on to say, and we have known this to be true, that the Wisconsin Badgers, too, are sorely lacking in their facilities. Whether that's the weight room, whether that's the practice facility, whether that's the locker rooms and all of the amenities that seem to pop up every year, new ones for Division I football programs, the Badgers are way, way, way behind. So they are putting a boatload of money into refurbishing and spicing it all up. But the issue that the donors are having now is, well, where are we supposed to put our contributions? Because y'all got NIL, and you keep telling us that NIL is real important. You got to have the money to lure these athletes to your program, or else they're going to go somewhere else, and it's going to be the haves versus the have-nots. So where should donors be putting their money? Would you, Chewy, put your money towards the facilities to build a new locker room, to build a new weight room, or would you give it to the athletes so that they get the top-tier five stars coming to the Wisconsin Badgers?
I hate to say it, but I would put it more into NIL, and here's why. There has definitely been a pivot from high school recruiting who, when they go in, they want to see the beautiful weight room. They want to see the indoor facility connected to everything. At Iowa, their weight room has two huge glass doors that open up to the indoor facility, which is massive. Teams, and this comes to Son, who's in the biz, and I'll give you an example. He brought in six NIL kids or six transfer portal kids. His new line will be all transfer portal to upgrade. Some colleges, they barely recruit high school now. They're like, why? I'll just recruit the portal. The portal's so big. Like he pulled six kids out of a pool of, I think there were 1,600 linemen that went into the portal after the season. So why would you bother with high school kids? You know? And he prepares himself because he's like, and he tells them, if you know, a couple of the kids are younger, he's like, look, you play good here, I'm smart enough to know that you're going to go above us. You're going to go to a better school. So a lot of – Colorado's another one. They just go right to the portal.
That's from a coaching standpoint.
But these kids
are
all smart.
Yeah, that's from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, the kids are smart.
And I think
they want money.
They have
These
to figure out where
money.
To you're getting the most return on investment. If, like you say, yeah. these NIL athletes, depending on where your program is, again, we're talking about Wisconsin specifically, so you are sort of one of the top tiers. You're kind of up there campaigning to be a top team, trying to get to be a playoff team, especially with the expanded playoff this year. So if your thought is, well, we're going to develop this guy, and then somebody else, Alabama, Georgia, mm-hmm. you know, pick a squad, is just going to come in and snipe them out of the transfer portal, well, that might not be the best return on investment. Can you argue that the return on investment is the facilities, and because those will last, those will stay?
Yeah, because I think the dilemma that some of these donors are facing is, okay, I give you NIL money. That gives us this defensive back for 1 year, and then he goes off and goes someplace else for even more NIL. Whereas if I donate to specifically for the facilities, I can now, if I live in Madison or if I'm going to all the games as a donor, I can walk past whatever the new McLean Center, the new indoor facility is going to be called, and go, hey, I helped build that. The money I donated helped build that. And that has more of an impact, I think, for the donor individually who's giving the money.
And theoretically, for more athletes, right? You could,
yes.
You could convince yourself that the hundreds of athletes who will move through that space over any given sort of time period is more people being impacted in a positive way by your money. But the challenge is, of course, too, there's only so much money to go around. And if you buy the athlete, which is what you're doing, I don't want to sit here and act like we're like,
sure.
you know, grasping our pearls here. If you can't buy the top tier athletes, then what's the point of having a beautiful facility? You got a bunch of two-stars in there working out, hopefully, and I'm not saying you can't go from being a two-star athlete out of high school to being a NFL prospect, but are you competing at a high level if you're not getting the athletes? Like, this is a very interesting dilemma.
But the kids that go into the portal that are sophomores and juniors, they don't really care about the facilities anymore. Where you take a high school kid and they're like, oh my God, this is absolutely beautiful. These kids, all they care about is money. Because I'll give you an example. On Dylan's team last year, their HBCU, the kid who was a defensive end won the award for the conference. He was out of he's in the Big Ten now. I'm not sure where, but he was going where he got the most money. It wasn't the facility. These kids now are like, well, you're going to give me $30,000 a year. Do I hear a 35? Do I hear a 35? Yeah, we have 35. Do we have a 40? Do we have a 40? That's how these kids are. Even the delusional ones want money.
But you
Which
still...
I guess is fair in the end. In the system that they have right now, it's fair.
I don't think they need to build whatever. The one that always comes to mind is, for whatever reason, a couple of years ago, like when LSU, like right before NIL kicked out, LSU just poured a bleep ton of money into their, like, the most beautiful locker room I've ever seen. Like, that's imprinted in my mind. I don't think you need to do that. But at the same time, Chu, like, I haven't covered the Badgers on a regular basis since 2013. And, like, the McLean Center, their indoor facility, felt outdated then. Yes. Like, so it doesn't need to be the best, the highest, the biggest, most state-of-the-art thing. But you still need money to update and keep those. Because if you don't have a good place for these kids to be working out, I mean, that could lead to them ultimately entering the Porter as well. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Like, you'd need... They just need to find more money that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And it's a lot safer taking the NIL or transfer portal kids, because look at all the busts that come out of high school. I mean, I played with a team full of them at Boston College. They all sucked, you know? I mean, you're rolling the dice going, all right, let's give this kid $40,000. You don't even know if he's good. At least in the portal, you have film on the guy. We're like, okay, he can't play at Wisconsin, but he can play at Ball State. And that's how these teams approach it.
Or like Arch Manning. I mean, how much money did he get NIL and had nothing to do with Texas last year? Nothing.
Yeah.
Because they had Quinn Ewers, who was able to step up and play and lead them to college football playoff appearance.
So I do think that we want to be clear on what we're talking about when we say facilities. It is not just, and again, I think this is why it's important to distinguish this, it is not just the buildings. It is not just the plates in the weight room. We're talking about like salt tubs, hot water, the hot tub, the like all of those mm-hmm. things, and how every year it feels like we get smarter and smarter about how to take care of our bodies. We're talking about the nutrition and like how much money these
training
you would
table.
Be shocked.
Yeah.
At how much money these Division I programs at the top tier are spending on food. Like, there's, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's all of those little things that separate the haves from the have-nots. And I'm not saying that Wisconsin has always been a have-not. To your point, the facility has always been a little, like, janky. You know, you walk in, you're like, oh, geez. And I see a lot of these locker rooms. I see a lot of these facilities. I am walking through the weight room and the training facility and going, whoa. You know, I don't think everybody needs to do what Clemson did all those years ago and put a slide in from the second story to the first story because somebody did a study that said it was more efficient than taking the stairs and those 5 seconds each guy was saving to get from one meeting to the next was going to make or break the program.
I mean, that's fun.
But to Chewy's point, those types of things separate you. And for an 18-year-old high school kid, you're not telling me that there aren't guys out there that picked Clemson because of the slide. There were. But, there were guys who thought, this is fun. I want to be where it's fun. We can slide from meeting A to meeting B.
But this just got a lot harder for Wisconsin, and it'll be interesting to see what direction they're going to go in. Because now you have Oregon, you have Washington, you have USC, you have UCLA. If you don't spend or keep up with the Joneses, I'm sorry. On the West, you're going to be in Indiana or Purdue.
Well, but Chewy... I think that's a problem for a lot of these schools. I don't think this is strictly a Wisconsin thing. Like, maybe it's not an issue at Michigan or Ohio State, but I think at some of those schools, definitely not Oregon, just because they have the Nike money behind them, but Washington, mm-hmm. UCLA, and maybe not USC. They've got some bigger donors there. But I think there's a lot of schools that have been at that Wisconsin level, Michigan State, Iowa, teams that have gone to a college football playoff that you're going, ooh, boy. How are we going to pull this off now? And I think it's even furthering the divide between the top tier echelon, the Bamas, the Ohio States, those schools, even with some teams that have been elite at different times.
Well, put it on the
Jen, what do you think the max amount of games a team can lose and still be in the college playoffs? Two, three maybe. I mean, where do you think the 12th team is going to be? Three losses?
Could be four. I mean, yeah, and you have
Could
to win
four.
Your if you win your conference, you're in, and then it just goes by the rankings.
Depends how tough your schedule is, too.
Yeah, and Larson, I know this is your space as well. I think you could lose four or five games and still make the college football playoffs.
Ah, five?
Yeah, five's pushing it. Yeah, four, maybe, depending on how tough your schedule is and what conference you're from.
If you're in the SEC?
In the SEC, maybe four, but definitely not five.
So just looking at the AP top 25 at the end of last year, LSU was the 12th ranked team. They had three losses. Like Arizona, LSU, Penn State, Notre Dame, all sitting there at 10-3.
Again, guys, think about like what we just discussed. If you are in Alabama, for whatever reason, you're afforded more losses because of your reputation. And I know Saban's not there anymore, but that has always been like the, you know, who did you play? Who were those losses against? I think you're right. Five is probably egregious, but 12 teams, four losses. I could see it happening. 800-990-3776. We are going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. If you are a donor and you are being asked to donate to the Wisconsin Badgers, would you put your money towards NIL, which they need a boatload of money for, or would you put your money towards the facilities? Because as you know, Wisconsin is doing a major, major, major renovation of their practice facilities, of the weight room, and all of those types of things, and they also need to continue getting donations from their donors in that space. What do you feel like gives you the biggest bang for your buck? What is a better return on investment, Gabe?
Summerfest is back. That's right. The big gig popping off on Milwaukee's lakefront once again this weekend and next weekend. And we want to send you there. Callers 4 and 5, callers number 4 and 5 right now to 800-990-3776 will win a 4-pack of tickets to Summerfest. 4 tickets on us to take your friends, your family, whoever you want. That's callers number 4 and 5 right now, 800-990-3776.
Tired of the ups and downs of life? Great Midwest Bank offers a wide range of fixed rate products designed to give you a peace of mind and consistent payments, ensuring your home mortgage is not a variable factor in your budget. Secure your summer adventures and beyond with the stability you deserve at Great Midwest Bank. Don't let financial uncertainty cloud your summer vibes. Choose Great Midwest Bank for a worry-free season. Go to their website. It's greatmidwestbank.com. No week in Rechew this week, as Joshy is enjoying his Mexico vacation. But I did see something on the internet yesterday that I sent to the group text, which was the name of things you probably didn't know.
This is so funny.
I am so glad I gave you a chuckle, buddy. Which of the ones on the list did you appreciate the most? The one that you used in the text chain a few moments later, which was vagitus.
Which is it's the cry of a newborn baby.
It's called a vagitus.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes.
But yes,
my
that is the one you used.
One, did you guys know any of them?
No.
I mean, the four prongs being called tines.
You did know that?
I did know that.
Oh, that sounds like a
I knew aglet. I knew aglet.
Yes, I did know that one as well. The plastic or metallic coating at the end of your shoe places is called an aglet. I did not know that the dot over an I or a J is called a tittle. A tittle?
Yeah, that's...
No.
Like, and so here's the thing. Like, I don't understand. So this list you sent us was 20 different things. And the tiny plastic thing in the middle of a pizza box is called a box tent. Like, all of these are fun, and then it's like, oh, box tent.
Yeah, box tent doesn't feel
like that's
as
just not fun.
When you combine a question mark with an exclamation mark, you know, the old question mark, exclamation mark at the end of a sentence, it is referred to as an interrobang, which think
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I think me and Angie have done that before.
Question mark with the exclamation point. Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah.
What just happened here?
It makes sense because just going to try to do a little logic here for you guys.
Sure.
As you make it all about something else. It is an interrogation.
Yeah.
So intero and then bang, because the exclamation point is the bang at the end of the sentence. So intero bang is what you call the question mark exclamation point combo. Anything stand out
Tittle
to you, Gabe?
Tittle was a good one.
Tittle is a good one.
Well, the crapulence is...
What is crapulence?
Crapulence is the sick feeling you get after eating or drinking too much.
Crapulence. So when someone says, I feel like crap, they think it's just the shortened version of crapulence.
So, like, when Chewy, you know, ate a Works pizza and couldn't come to work because of it, it's because he was going through a little crapulence.
That was a good one.
I had the crapulence.
Also, I think it's important on this show, as this is something we experience quite frequently with Chewy's gremlin, when your stomach rumbles, it's called a womble. I never heard of womble.
Womble, 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 womble.
Womble, womble, womble. We hear the womble from Chewy all the time. The space between your eyebrows is called a glabella. Glabella?
If you say so.
I never heard of that
Why
before.
Why isn't there... That should be a little more well-known.
How about this one? The little toe or your little finger is called the minimus, not the pinky or the pinky toe. The minimus.
Sorry.
Can
it's going to be the pinky toe to
question?
Me forever.
It's like Kleenex versus tissue
for
like, you.
Sure, if you want to call it
Q-tip
that.
Versus cotton swab.
Ken, all right. Chris, get your hand on the dumb button because I'm not sure about
Lord.
This one.
Oh, God.
Is the taint really called the taint?
Okay, can't say that. Nope. Chris can't do that.
Why not, Gabe?
What do you mean,
I'm looking
why
it
not?
Up.
You can't do that.
What if it's called that?
It's not.
What's it called, then?
We're not having this conversation.
But you're so messed up. Can you get back to the list, please? Because I thought another one that more people should know.
You opened this door. You opened this door, by the way.
I mean,
yeah, you did.
You guys, I couldn't have made this more easy. You have the list in front of you.
You thought that he was... First of all, he clearly hasn't pulled up the list. He can't find it on his phone. There's a good chance he deleted it.
He knew what one of them was on his head.
Second of all,
you
opened
had
this door
the
a little
pole
bit.
With the worm on it. The worm was on the pole.
You decided to go fishing, and that's what you caught.
All right, hold on. Can I just at least throw one more out there that I think people should know? This is our PSA for the world, okay? If you didn't like any of the other ones that we mentioned, you're like, I'm never going to call the baby toe the minimus, right? It's always going to be the pinky toe or the pinky.
Piggy. Yeah.
How about this one? Piggy. No, not the piggy. The pinky. Jeez Louise.
But this little piggy went home.
I know. That little piggy went wee-wee-wee-wee all the way home. The day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow actually has a name. It's the overmorrow.
Nah, I'm out on that.
Why?
Seems like too much. Yeah. It seems like a Shakespearean
like
word.
Like trying too hard?
Yeah, it's a try hard word.
Yes.
Overmorrow is the day after tomorrow. These are the names of things you probably didn't know. Saw this on Instagram yesterday. Immediately sent it to the guys. Knew that Chewy would get a kick out of the intro bang, which he did. Knew he would get a kick out of the tittle, which is the dot over the I or the J. Crapulence is a favorite of mine. Dumpy and West Bend weighing in saying, is crapulence interchangeable with dumpulence? Yeah, sure.
Why not, Dumpy?
The metal thing that's used to measure your feet at the shoe store is called the Bannock device. I'm not sure how often I'm going to need to use the Bannock device.
No, but shout out to Mr. Bannock, who clearly invented it.
Finding it difficult to get out of bed in the morning is called dysania. And I think I had a little dysania this morning, not going to lie.
Are you going to remember any of these?
The tittle.
I'm going to remember crapulence, and that's about it.
Chew, which one are you going to remember?
What's the shoelace thing? The shoelace thing?
Well, clearly you didn't remember it, so it feels like it doesn't qualify for this exercise. It's an aglet.
The answer is none of
them. Oh, an aglet, yeah.
The answer for Chewy is
I'll remember it.
Single damn one.
I'll remember it 4 years from now. Then I'll nail it.
Exactly. Short-term versus long-term memory. I do feel like you should remember the womble, right? Since that's what your stomach does on the show.
The womble lives inside
Chewy. In fact, the next time, exactly, the next time we hear your stomach growling on the air, we have to call it the womble. Oh, it's just the womble. That's Chewy's womble.
Isn't that a song? Wobble, 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 wobble.
That's the wobble.
Yeah.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
Yeah, there
wobble,
you
baby,
go.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble. I'm pretty sure those are the only words. Oh, no. Get in now. Yeah.
Oh,
I think those are the only words of the song. Go ahead, Gabe.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making those plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go. It's where I went. It's definitely the place you should go. It's where I went for my wife's ring. It's where we went for the wedding bands. It's the place that is always going to take care of you because of the team Dean, the Dancing Machine, has been putting together over there. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. And I think it's because of the team. If you don't have an idea of what you want to get, talk with the team over there. Maybe she has a Pinterest page. Grab some ideas off of that, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center always going to be able to put you in the right spot. And look, if you are looking for options, of course the Jewelry Center is going to have options, whether we're talking about naturally mined diamonds or lab-grown diamonds. Whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, June 29th. That is tomorrow for the first ever bougie brunch inside the dark room at St. Kate. If you're looking at your calendar going, man, we don't have anything going on Saturday, why not stop by St. Kate's bougie brunch? You will have to make reservations, but put it on your calendar today. Give them a call. Go to their website, stkatearts.com. It is an extravagant five-course brunch menu prepared by the hotel's executive chef and bottomless mimosas. This exclusive bougie brunch experience will be held in the secret dining room, the dark room. Reservations are required. Seats are limited. Go to stkatearts.com right now to go ahead and schedule yourself for the bougie brunch at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. As we wrap up the show, I want to make sure we give a congratulations out to Tyler Kolek and Oso Iguodaro from Marquette, who were drafted yesterday in the second round of the NBA draft. Tyler goes to the New York Knicks. Oso goes to the Phoenix Suns, where he will work for, play for Mike Budenholzer. So a lot of Milwaukee connections there as the two guys take their talents to the next level. Craig mentioned it earlier on the show. Big weekend out at the ballpark, too. Cubs versus Brewers. The Brewers are 10.5 games up on the Cubs right now. Seems like a foregone conclusion that they will not be, the Cubs, that is, relevant in this pennant race. Any juice? You said no juice for this series.
I don't think so. You think he's going to get booed, but you think the boos will kind of be subdued?
No.
From when the last time they came here?
No.
You still think they're going to be as loud?
People love, just in general, to boo. Booing's fun.
It's also easy.
That's why it's fun.
A lot of brain power.
Correct.
Or stamina.
Correct. Well, I mean, the stamina, I mean, you could take some breaths in there, but if you want to boo, you're probably taking a couple of different breaths in there if you really want to boo him this weekend.
How long will the boos last? A minute?
5-6 years?
I was not prepared for that one. That was a very good pop by you, Gabe Neitzel. I'm very impressed, actually. You're leaving this room with a little more respect from me. 5 or 6 years, how long the boos will last. Brewers should win this series. They just feel like the Cubs are overmatched. Cubs are outmatched in this one. And they just haven't been able to. Brewers' record is 48-33 to the Cubs 38-44. I mentioned the 10.5 games. They just haven't really, it's kind of been a whimper of a season for the Chicago Cubs and Craig Counsell.
Bullpen stinks. And that's what it's been. Their starting pitching's been good in the last, the two previous times that they've played, the Cubs starting pitching's been good. And then the Brewers beat up on their bullpen, which is kind of the way it's gone for the Cubs all year. They've blown so many leads. It's been fun to see.
And just as a reminder, Brewers fans, it is time to cast those ballots for the All-Star game. Christian Yelich, yeah, still somebody that could start in the outfield.
So,
William Contreras could start behind the plate.
Yep, those two are finalists. Voting starts in 2 days. So the voting will restart in 2 days. Contreras going up against just one other catcher. If he wins, then he's the starter. If Yelich is one of the top three of the six outfielders that made it to round two, he will start in the All-Star game as well.
That's very exciting. We put it on the poll this morning. Would you be surprised if Jordan Love signed a $60 million contract with the Packers, yes or no? 63% of people are saying no. That would not surprise them at all. And if you're a donor donated to Wisconsin, are you upgrading the facilities or are you giving to NIL? 59% of people saying they would upgrade the facilities, not donate to NIL. Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.